yanking his chain, oh, and he said, yeah, that crazy bitch next door is off the chain.
Anybody. Those look like little peanuts. Honey roasted, if you will.
And Dawn.
That's what Jasper Dawn's for. Low T. Yes, here's Ben.
The Rob, Anybody, and Dawn Show.
Email is rad@radio.com to get us started. We go back to yesterday, as we often do here in the first segment. We got this from Julie.
Hey, Julie.
So somehow we got on to Jug Wine yesterday.
Yes, oh. Jug Wine.
And we started with Ernest and Julio Gallo. We moved on to Carlos Rossi.
Hell yeah, reign supreme.
And Brandon at one point mentioned the infamous Paul Masson commercials that were done by Orson Welles, where the famous at the time actor would proclaim that Paul Masson would sell no wine before his time. Those of us that were young in the day, 78 to 81, the 3 years when these ran, we remember them well.
Oh, yes.
And Brandon had mentioned that for fun, Google, and Julie wrote in and said, I want to thank Brandon for the awesome recommendation of looking up the Orson Welles blooper wine commercials online. They did not disappoint. Very easy to find if you just literally Google Orson Welles bloopers or anything like that. It comes up, and the idea. And so I watched them yesterday. It's a minute and a half of, and I watched them through the prism of dudes hammered. I'm laughing. I was gonna play them for you, but it's not worth it because the first one's all visual, and he's just like he's not doing anything. And then the second two, yeah, he's slurring, ha ha ha, funny. But the real reason is Captain Unfun has to fly in and let you know that this is a complete farce, and we've all known it actually for decades.
Oh.
It was known at the time. It's been confirmed multiple times. It was originally reported by a guy named Brian Van Hooker. That's unfortunate.
Oh, yeah.
Well known.
I mean, at least he has the van.
Well known.
Nothing good happens in a van.
Yeah, with a hooker, especially. Yeah.
And then the cops show up, and then you're both arrested.
Oh my gosh.
So, but he's a well known media journalist, food critic, journalist, etc. Blah blah blah. Long story short, Wells wasn't drunk.
Oh, come on.
I know. Sorry.
Well, he's a good drunk actor.
It's been mischaracterized and reported over the decades. I know. Shocking. That we've taken a story that has been well documented and known since this occurred in the early 80s, and we've turned it into something to make it funnier. I mean, it's still funny.
Yeah.
It's just that he wasn't drunk. And I don't, for some reason, it seems to bother people when you have what is a reasonable answer that still makes it funny but doesn't, I guess.
I think the funny thing for me would be if he actually was.
Okay. But he still is. His mind is altered.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when you get into these online forums and things, you're like, wow, I don't want to believe that. I want to believe he's drunk. Okay.
Oh, well.
Because the answer is he had actually worked all day the prior day in. So he was in Vegas. Let me see if I get that. Yeah. This is all. The original report, you got to go back like into. God, I don't even know. Kyle, do you know, Kyle, anybody under 40, do you know what a microfish is?
It's a little fish that's microscopic.
Yeah. Okay. See, because
it's a film, right? It's like a film style. It's almost like it would. So it was like basically a look at those old school turn type of cameras, the film style, but it actually had like a cardboard border around it.
Oh,
you put it in
these.
You put it in those little machines, and you click the button and go, and then it would like spin the wheel, and they would illuminate it onto the screen.
And,
right?
And we used that back when Dawn and I were children. You could use that at public libraries to reference like news stories from the 20s, 30s, 40s.
They've taken
those now and they've turned them. You can get them online, but it's that quality. It's still the quality you're describing, Brando.
Yeah.
That's what it is that you have to find to actually get the original reporting on this.
Can you make those into actual photos too? Because I know at my grandparents' house, I've gone up in the attic a few times and I've seen tons of these up there.
You absolutely can. Okay. That's what they've done. That's all they've done on the web is they just have basically turned them into pictures and then screenshotted them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The description, I'm on board. 100% remember all of that. When you first said the word, I am well over 40, and I was like, what? What the hell's that?
So,
I don't even remember calling it that.
We've covered it for all bases then. But you have to go back that far to find the original reporting, and then it's been investigated, blah, blah, blah. He had worked all day in Vegas the previous night before he shows up and says, I'm the French, the Palmer. They did three takes. They called it. When he showed up in L.A., for these takes, he told the assistant director, a guy named Peter Schillingford, that he had taken a sleeping pill in Vegas for the limo ride. thinking, you know, 3.5-4 hours, he'd get some rest, he'd be fresh. Well,
okay, that's still funny.
Orson Welles' enormous. It took until, like, right before he got to L.A. for the sleeping pill to kick in.
Yeah.
And he shows up, like, hey, Paul, Peter? Paul, or are you Mary? I don't know. I'm not going to make it. Peter says, let's give it a try.
Oh, man.
It goes poorly. Welles rests. They get him a bedroom at the place where they're shooting this. They're shooting at, a mansion in L.A. This is back where you have to go literally on site. You know, they don't have sets and things like this. They rent out a mansion. He takes a nap for 4 hours. He comes down. He nails it in one take. Gets a standing ovation by everybody.
Of course he does.
Walks out. And that's the real story.
So Orson Welles is the guy who wrote the 1984 novel, correct?
No,
this is different.
That's George Orwell.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the original War of the Worlds radio broadcast?
Yes, and that was in the 30s, I believe, and it scared the hell out of everybody, and everybody thought it was real.
Yes, Orson Welles did that.
Okay. Thank you.
The humor still lives and exists in that blooper reel.
Good,
just because of his mind being altered. And
for sure.
The thing that makes me laugh the most is not necessarily, you know, somebody being drunk on camera and you know, maybe embarrassing themselves while trying to be a professional, but the actors who have to be straight and have to sit through it, and the director who gets pissed, like, come on, Orwell, let's get this done.
And when you watch those three attempts, you can see Orson Welles, I don't know that his name lives on or whatever, but he was a legend in that time, and he was also known to be this great guy, very professional, and you can tell they're terrified to expressively show that they're like, dude,
what's going on?
And you do hear the director kind of annoyingly yelling cut, but still paying homage to Orson Welles. I love the part of the story. He sleeps it off, comes down, one take, out, see ya. That's just such a great ending to the story.
So have you ever thought of pulling an Orson Welles, like pulling a prank on the masses when on the air?
No.
No, not like that?
No. And especially, and you know what's funny is too, if you go back to early 80s, it wasn't easy to get sleeping pills. You had to be somebody like Orson Welles to get an actual I don't know what he actually took. Obviously, that was never confirmed.
See, now it is funny hearing that through. I thought the story was going to be that he was just play acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it when a comedian does it and then you're seeing if it's funny. But, I mean, I guess if he was play acting, he was drunk, it could have looked funny. But it would have just been more authentically funny.
Yeah.
And it still is now because he was under the influence of something but not meaning to. And it actually makes it more funny because he wasn't meaning to and it just affected him that way.
It wasn't irresponsible.
No, not at all.
And in that time, you know, you can get away with play acting. And acting drunk is one of the hardest things to do. So if there were going to be anybody to play drunk. See,
hey, no,
I'm
you know
just
what?
Trying out my part to do my thing.
This is you're so right, because this is how I identify truly great actors or actors who have a true talent in terms of being able to recreate things they've lived, I guess. Because these two examples I'm going to give you don't necessarily make them great actors, but the two best guys I've ever seen play drunks are Liv Schreiber, who nailed it throughout the series with Ray Donovan. Oof. When that guy was playing a guy who still had to be intense and on it, but was trying to pretend to be completely inebriate, he nailed it.
I thought he was.
And Charlie Sheen on Two and a Half Men, who we know was.
Come on.
Completely altered.
Yeah.
And those were his best moments. Again, now remember, Charlie Sheen was once a revered actor as well. Hello, Platoon. So, you make of those two guys.
Gosh. Hot Shots Part 2.
Yeah, that's where he took a wrong turn. He really did in so many ways.
Yeah.
But you can tell, because most actors do the comedic. I mean, if I was trying to actually act, I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. That's not how people mostly sound when they're drunk. All right, next update from the end of the show yesterday. What was yesterday's question of the day? Was something about an everyday food that you won't eat.
What food would you never consume again?
And like what basic food?
Like
would
Brussels
you never
sprouts.
Eat?
We got we got peas, and then remember, somebody mentioned lima beans and said
disgusting.
That they reminded them of slimy boogers, and that of course got us boys talking about. Well, of course you want the crunchier ones, and now we could show up at Dawn's and we could sprinkle some crunchy boogers that we saved, etc. And then we got this great suggestion from David.
Hi, David.
He wrote in rad@radradio.com and says you guys should do a booger cookbook. Now zero potential at all whatsoever,
and zero interest from anybody on the team put in any effort to be creative about it.
Yeah, thank you, David, for taking just a merely funny lifestyle observational thing. Yes, dudes still play with and eat their boogers and killing the bit entirely. But I know I got a great idea. Let's do a booger cookbook.
You know what you could do? You could put that booger on a shirt.
He probably just thinks it's funny. Right? Yes.
He's rolling. He woke up this morning, couldn't wait to hear us announce that we're working on the Booger Cookbook 24.
Kind of makes him endearing. When you really think a stupid idea is funny and you laugh about
it. You email it in. He's been telling his friends all day. Hey!
You know
hey!
What, though? When you reach a point, though, if you're sane, somewhat sane, where then you hear it said out loud by someone else, you're like, oh, okay, wait, that's real stupid. And he might be doing that right now.
Here's the test. Here's the test. A real self-actualized human would write back and go, yeah, you're right. Would say what you just said.
Yeah.
What most people do, I see this all the time. They write back, I was just kidding. I didn't think you'd take it seriously.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Right.
Yep.
God, I hate that.
Cop out.
This is my household because my husband and I are both the same. We'll crack up at our own ideas. And then when we put them out loud to even each other, we're like, oh, yeah.
See? That, you own it, though.
Works. We do.
You don't go, oh, I didn't really mean it to be funny, Gary. God, go grill the burgers.
Oh, man, his burgers are so good.
Not really important, but thank you.
What about his buns, Don? How about them buns?
Yeah. This email late last night from Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Who says, Guten Tag from Griedenwald, Switzerland. I was thrilled to find out that my rad radio app works here in my Swiss chalet in the mountains. Why wouldn't it? As long as you have the internet.
There could be some holes in the service.
Get a Swiss Army knife and fix it.
I'm not responding to either of you.
Isn't it just an army knife there?
Oh, I don't know. What about the watches?
Oh, my God. Yep. It's just watch and knife.
And cheese.
And chocolate, I guess, too.
Yeah.
And miss.
Get it out of your systems.
Sorry, Rob.
Oh,
next
my
up.
God, that's
We got this email from Richard.
Hey, Dick.
Says, I know Rob and Brandon have both made multiple trips to Hawaii and have done different things. Yes. Very. That's exactly how we would describe it.
We've gone places and done things.
Brandon and I do interviews now and then, and they say, so tell us about your personal lives, and that's exactly it. See, that's how Brandon potted that right off of his tongue. We've gone places and we've done things. Thanks for having us.
See you later.
He says, I am looking for advice.
Advice?
No, advice has a C.
It does.
Advice is a word. It ends with an S, and that's what he wants advice.
Okay.
We can advise.
Interesting. We, I don't know who, you know, the mouse in his pocket or whatever, because he doesn't identify. He just says we are taking our first trip to Hawaii.
Maybe it's just his different personality.
This September. Then identify that.
That'd be great. Buy a seat for your personality.
See, my other personalities and I are headed to Ball. I love the ADA lawsuit, the Americans with Disabilities Act, heading our way soon for somebody who's like under the care of a psychiatrist, but maybe not for multiple personality disorder. They're for something else. But the psychiatrist may or may not have to be compelled by a court to actually disclose what they're under the care of. So you have all the seats in a Southwest row, and you tell them, I bought all these because I have multiple personality disorder, and these are my friends, and Southwest kicks them off the flight.
Oh, and you name them, though, because they all do name them.
And he sues for billions, gets millions in a settlement. What a great idea. Thank you, Don. I'll get right to work on that. All right. Let's see. It says we, whoever we are taking our first trip to Hawaii this September. We're going to both Oahu, skip that one, and Maui. Oh,
what?
Yep.
Skip Oahu?
Yes.
A pit. That is a garbage pile.
Okay. I'm sorry. That happens to be my favorite island, but that's okay.
It's a warm San Francisco.
Oh, God.
You stay on the South Shore.
Ugh. Garbage.
Travel outside of Waikiki. Yeah. It's a beautiful island. Yeah. Go to the North Coast.
No, thank you.
There's an effort.
I live there. It's okay.
No, okay.
And it's gone into the crapper since you lived there. That's why we went to Oahu. My wife, for 8 years. I'm going to Oahu. That's where she lived when she was stationed there. And, we weren't even in the rental car for 20 minutes. She's like, oh, my God, babe, this is not the island I lived on. I'm so sorry. This is going to be awful. And it was.
Oh, even North Shore and Hawaii Kai was a little on the downside.
Yeah, it was a very disappointing trip in almost every way. I mean, we had a great time. We enjoyed it. We made the best of it. But it was palpably not anything I ever need again in Hawaii.
Oh, I love Kyle's advertisement. Welcome. We are a warm San Francisco.
They are. Homeless people everywhere, tell you what.
Man. When you lived there?
It was awful. Yeah, it was sketch walking down the streets in downtown. Like, I mean, I rode the bus to and from work when I worked down there, and it didn't last long.
Because we were there in December of 2022, and it was like every corner, and even in South Shore, all the way over, what is it, East Shore or West Shore? North Shore. They were everywhere. Wow. Okay. It was so bad.
All right, the nipping chihuahua is starting to back down in me.
Oh.
My experience of Oahu was prior to COVID.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think I traveled to Hawaii after COVID. Yeah, so all of my experience was previous to that. So I would not be surprised if it's just gone downhill.
So dumb question then. Then of all the islands, why do you, is there a reason they would all congregate?
Yeah, it's the big one. It's not the big one. Like, yeah. The big island is Hawaii Island. It's called the Las Vegas of Hawaii. It's where it is Oahu. It's Honolulu.
It's the capital.
It's the capital.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I gotcha.
So you go where all the services are, sure. Where all the tolerance is, things like that.
It's where the naval base is. It's the hub for all of the other islands.
Easiest place to fly into and then just walk off the airport and start wandering around and things like that. And yes, there's all sorts of sadness attached to all of the homelessness across America. It's just... that's where you would find
it. Maybe that's why they're canceling NCIS Hawaii.
That's
because they'll film right there on location.
Yeah, they're bad. Just so we're all clear, they're canceling because it had the second worst ratings on the entire network of CBS, behind or in front of only the other one they canceled, CSI Vegas.
Oh, no. Yes, boo that.
That's why shows get canceled.
It's because the island has become dilapidated and the homelessness problem is gotten out of hand.
And that was the only island they could film on.
That's right.
Brandon, I do remember. Right, so we're going to both Oahu and Maui, he says. Okay.
Abu.
He says, Brandon, I do remember. I like this. I was on this exact same trip with Brandon, but I don't get mentioned. That's cool. Plus, you're not going to the right island either, you jerk.
Okay.
Brandon, I do remember you went at one time down a river in a tube.
Yes.
Remember doing that?
I do.
You remember I was with you, right?
Yeah. You and your wife Christina, were with me and my previous person, and we had a great time.
We
even rode in the van, and we got that uncomfortable conversation with all the other tourists, like, hey, what brought you here? Yeah.
Everybody around and say your name.
Introduce yourself and what you do for a living.
She handles that because she knows how I'll respond. So I just say, and it's easier when you have another couple too. Yeah. So.
How was the packed lunch they brought in the ice chest for that tube ride?
The sandwiches are always delish.
Excellent. Mwah.
No, but the experience was great. It was. It was so awesome.
The South Park episode that parodies zip lining.
Yes.
And you if you know, you know. I laugh out loud hysterically at that because it is Hawaii personified.
Oh, for sure.
Where the van, the uncomfortableness, the endless, oh my God, we have to walk for 3 hours to get to our thing. It's still worth it. Look, Brandon and I love Hawaii. I don't mean to downplay it in any way, but that is so spot on.
Yeah, I feel bad for knocking this particular place because that's every touristy thing you do, the zip lining, any destination thing you do, if you go horseback riding, whatever. You're in a group of people, other tourists. You're going to be roped into that stupid forced conversation, but outside of that, man, the sugar cane tunnels tube ride was amazing.
And it was a great time. He says he'd very much like to do this. I don't know, Brandon. Do you know? Do they do it out on any other islands? We were on Kauai when we did it.
No, in fact, you're going to the wrong islands.
I'm gonna
back Rob on this. You will have a good time if you stay on Oahu. I did not enjoy Maui at all, but that was also because it was in the middle of 4th of July, and we had spent a week prior on the Big Island at a nice resort. It was like all catered to you. Like you didn't have to go anywhere. You just want to stay on the resort. And there's nothing really else to do on the Big Island anyway. So we spent a whole week there. It was great. Perfect air conditioning, key point there. And so we went over to Maui, and the hotel experience was the opposite.
Aww.
And it was like we spent all the money and front loaded it all on the front part of the trip, and then the last part of the trip, not so good. No air conditioning. Everybody, locals hate tourists there more than any other island that I've experienced. So right in the middle of 4th of July, it was just a lot of angst, a lot of tension, and it was busy everywhere.
Terrible.
Although I was glad to have experienced Lahaina before the fire. There was Lahaina, thank you, before the fire. That's where we actually saw the 4th of July fireworks. And that was beautiful to be able to experience that. But man, I was just not a big fan of Maui for that experience. And it might have been my company as well.
Maui's kind of like, I've done Maui more than the other ones, and it has kind of gone slowly, very slowly downhill. I obviously haven't been since the fire, but it is what Brandon said. It is like, it's like the, there's a, well, this is a very personal reference. It's almost like the Reno of Hawaii in this sense. If you're a local, this is how it used to be when Dawn and I were in Reno in the 90s. If you were a local in Reno, I don't know the attitude nowadays. For some reason, you didn't understand that Las Vegas was Las Vegas because it was Vegas, and that they were very welcoming and that they wanted to entice people into things like that. So you were very much in Reno in the 90s. You were very much anti-giant casino resorts, things like that.
Anti-Vegas.
As a local, you would get infuriated anytime hundreds of thousands of tourists came to your city and revitalized the economy. Hot August Nights, most famously. Biggest event they have every year. It's not about me thinking Hot August Nights is stupid. It's just locals would get infuriated. And that is what Maui has become over the course of about 10 years of going there a couple times. I'm like, I mean, I'm back in the Big Island. You mentioned the Big Island is called the Big Island because it's the Big Island.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
You got to drive an hour to get anywhere, and it gets old real quick. I mean, Kauai is the place, I think, for experienced Hawaii visitors.
It really is. As long as you understand that you're going there for a sleepy time, because everything closes at like 6, 7 p.m.
Eight,
if you're lucky, that's the club closing time. Right. 8 p.m.
I was gonna say you show up to the club at 6.
Yeah, that is perfect. I can go clubbing.
And you know, I feel bad for knocking Maui so hard. I think I'm in a mood. I think I'm in a way today. I don't know. But the Maui, I get that. Of course, the locals are going to hate me because I'm encroaching on their territory.
Well,
really, Kauai is the most peaceful.
Kauai.
Yes, Kauai.
And you'd love it, too, because there's chickens everywhere, and they're all protected.
Oh, stupid my God. Birds. If I could just get there without flying over the ocean.
They haven't mastered that technology yet. We're working on teleportation
for
you.
Aren't there cruises to Hawaii?
Yes, but you're still crossing the ocean, and in a much slower rate, and in a much less safe rate.
I don't know what it is.
You do realize how much more prone cruises are to problems than an airplane.
No, I know, and they're not my favorite either. But if I had to choose between the two.
Yeah, but you've heard of all these horror stories of these cruise ships getting all of their plumbing backed up and all the sewage overflowing into everybody's rooms.
Yeah, if I could be promised that it wasn't that ship, and then I'm given a choice, I would need an immense amount of time off, I would imagine, because cruises take up a big chunk.
Yeah. Well,
and then, you know what? No, a cruise would be terrible.
Yeah.
Because they only port for a couple days.
She finally talked it through, kids.
And everyone gets so excited. They're like, I'm going to cruise. I'm not putting you down. Just for me, to cruise the Mediterranean, I would feel like I want to experience the Mediterranean and be there. Like, when we did our cruise to Alaska, there were so many towns. My husband and I were like, we would have stayed in this town much longer than a day. We would have loved to stay in this town for 2 days and moved on to another town. But, you know, they're only at port for, I don't even know, a few hours or something.
And I like how Dawn envisions a cruise to the Hawaiian Islands that only stops at Kauai, like the sleepiest, least known one.
I just hitched a ride. Thanks.
There you go. The one way cruise.
Oh, an Uber ship.
Next.
Boy, there's a money-losing idea. Run with that, kids. We're going to play Win Rob's Change right now. We have had 16 guesses, 15 clues, because we had a moron sprinkled in there somewhere. If you can put together the guesses and clues and give us the right amount of money, you will win it. Phone number's 888-989-9811. Caller 18 gets to Win Rob's Change.
Rob. Anybody. And Dawn. The Rob. Anybody. And Dawn Show.